Colossians chapter 4, if you get your phones, your iPads, flick them on. Get them going. And just as you're doing that, let me tell you a little story. Do you want to hear a story?
Yes.
Good, goody, good. That's just as well because you're going to hear it. It's 1959, and a company that's been going for 31 years all of a sudden begins to decide that it wants to branch out. It's got its flagship thing, one side of the country, and it decides that it wants to branch out because most of its customers, those that would be part and engaging with them as a company, they come from the other side of the country. We're over in America right now, so it's a big nation. They actually found that where they were based in the West Coast, only 5% of their footfall was coming from those who lived to the west of the Mississippi River. So they recognized they needed to do something on the East Coast, set up an East Coast operation. And they began to look for a site. They began to look at various places that they could set up. And in one plane ride or plane journey over an area near a place called Bay Lake, which was in a little backwater at that time, wasn't that familiar, wasn't that well known in the state of Florida, not too far from Orlando. The guy who was looking out of the plane, a guy called Walt, you ever heard him? Looking down and seeing the I-4 and the Florida Turnpike and seeing a little place that was really well connected and thinking, that would be a good place to set up an East Coast operation. Now, we call it Walt Disney World. But at that point and at that stage, it was a lot of swamps and a little kind of mining holdings that were going on. And from 1959, the concept was birthed. 1963, in November 1963, that they found this site near Bay Lake in between the I-4 and Florida's Turnpike. For those of you who have been there, you know exactly where I'm talking about. But 1965, because they didn't want people to get wind of what was happening, they set up a number of dummy corporations, such as the I-4 company, or the Ready Creek Ranch Corporation, who apparently down in Main Street, USA, in the Magic Kingdom, then the names are up in a glass window for these companies. And together, and lots of different companies, they began the journey and the task of quietly buying up all the property and all the land till eventually they owned 48 square miles of swampland in different shapes and forms so that they could form their Walt Disney World and form this massive place that is now one of the most visited destinations in the whole of the world. Now, some of you are saying, Gordon, what is this? What on earth has this got to do with Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, which says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. The King James Version, or the New King James Version, says redeem the time. And the verb that is used there in the original language says buy up or buy out. And there is the link. Buy up and buy out. I wonder if as we look at our lives today, as perhaps we take, like Walt Disney took a plane ride over the state of Florida, over Orlando and the surrounding area, and looking and seeing a bird's eye view, I wonder if we look at our life, we look at our diary, we look at all that's going on, if we would not have a bird's eye, but perhaps a God's eye view of where the opportunities are that we are to make the most of, if there would be a God's eye view of the time that we've got, and how we would be able to buy up or buy back or buy out that time to hoover up the opportunities that God lays before us and that God has laid before you in this last week. And the good news is that God will lay before you in this coming week. Isn't that good? God will give you opportunity this week to redeem some time. Does anybody get an eye for a bargain? Yeah. I like it when Heather's got an eye for a bargain, just as long as it stays as an eye for a bargain and doesn't go any further. You know what I mean? Some of that bad man. Have you got an eye for the next big thing? You know, nowadays I think they would call them a futurist. You know, those that aren't just so happy where they're at right now, but they're looking for perhaps the next piece of tech, the next gadget, the next thing that's going to make life different, that's going to make life better. You get one of those folks that's always looking for the next big thing. Maybe it's in business. You're looking for opportunities to branch out and to expand. And you're looking for that niche, that area that hasn't been captured yet by somebody. And that's the way that God has wired you. We are to redeem the time. We are to buy up the time that God gives us, not to make a profit, but to make an investment. My tablet died. Thank you. God bless you. I've got an eye for a bargain. So instead of me, I had a birthday last week. So some people in family were nice enough to give me some money. So rather than going out and buying it, my eye for a bargain is I'm holding out for Black Friday. Couple of weeks' time, you know, the thing from Thanksgiving that's crept over here. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be beating off the crowds down at Tesco's at Kistorfin at midnight going into, the 24th of November, but I've got an eye for a bargain. I'm going to hold on, and I'm going to make the most of the opportunity and the cash that I've got and hopefully be able to get a tablet to replace it that's there. But you and I are called by God to receive understanding from him. Because remember, the first half of there of verse 5 says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. And then it goes on to say, make the most of every opportunity. So we've called to live in wisdom, godly wisdom, God's wisdom, to receive that divine download from heaven into our hearts. And then through the lens of God's wisdom in our life, then we are to be making the most of every. In the Bible, there were different words that would be used for time. One would be chronos, which would be calendar time, your diary, your watch, those natural time or the quality, the extent of time that you would have. But there was another word that would be kairos. And that kairos time would be that set time, talking about the seasons of God, the appointed time, the proper time for action. Now, when Paul writes and he says, make the most of every opportunity or redeem the time, he doesn't talk about chronos, he talks about kairos. He doesn't talk about making the most of just your diary, but making the most of the season of God that you're living in and that you're journeying through right now. See, the reality is, church, that we live in chronos, but we are to live by kairos. That we are to live in chronos because we don't check out of the world. We're not to hunker down till Jesus comes back. We're to be very much salt and light. We're to be like a city that's set in a hill that cannot be hidden, the scripture says. But at the same time, we're not just to go by man's diary, man's schedule, man's agenda, by the tick of the clock or anything like that. We're called to live by God's time, by the season that God had us living in. The Amplified Bible says, make the most of every opportunity, treating it is somehow precious. Have you treated the week that you've just had with all the ups and downs, with all the ordinary just kind of chugging along? Have you treated the moments that have happened, those little God moments where perhaps there's a conversation with somebody, perhaps somebody gives you an urge or an inkling and says, I need to pray for you. Perhaps there's somebody who's situation comes into your heart and into your mind and you feel that urge to go in and to pray for them. Maybe it's somebody that you just want to bless in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's somebody that you've just been able to share the love of God or what God has done in your life. You know, almost like Jillian has shared a little bit of her story that says, this is who God has been to me. Have you treated those moments as precious? Each day and each opportunity is precious because each day is a gift from God that we shouldn't take for granted. Each opportunity is precious. Why? Because people are precious. You are precious to God. Yeah, some of you don't look convinced. You know, nudge the person next to you and just say to him, do you know what? God says you're precious. Mark, God says you're precious. Fraser, God says you're precious. Every single person in this room today, God says you are precious. You're precious to God, and God has already made an investment for your life. And his name is Jesus, Son of God and Savior of the world. God who came down, fully God, fully man, walked the face of this planet, went around doing good, healing sick, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. Son of God who went to the cross and the innocent blood that was shed, the perfect man who died on the cross to take the place and the punishment for every wrong thing that we could ever say or do. Why? So that we could say sorry to God, so that we could turn from our wrong actions, wrong thinking, wrong living, so that we could become a friend of God, so that we could live forever and ever with him in heaven. That's how precious you are to God. That he gave his very best, and that he wants you to spend forever with him. See, Jesus has made an investment for your life. And one of the titles of Jesus, he's the Savior and he is the Redeemer. Why? Because he's not just buying back time, but he's buying back your time, your place in eternity. If you choose to accept and say yes to Jesus, you see, the ransom note is also the price tag. The ransom note of this is the amount that's outstanding. You know, this is the amount that's outstanding over your life, the bill of your life because of the sin that you've committed that is wrong and offense to God. It's the price tag that needs to be paid. And I want to tell you that price has been paid in full on the cross. And that price has been paid in full through the blood of Jesus. That price has been paid in full so that you might get to know God as your loving Heavenly Father, so that you're not just a faceless, nameless person, but you are a child of God. But you're a child of God, and as a child of God, then there is an opportunity in your life to live for the Lord, to redeem the time, to be all that God would plan and purpose for you to be. Because he's got a plan, an agenda, a purpose for your life. And your opportunity is the Lord's opportunity. But I want to tell you, your opportunity that is the Lord's opportunity is also somebody else's opportunity too. Because there's a somebody that you know who needs to know the love of God. And do you know who's called to be the hands and feet of Jesus to them? Who's called to be the expression of God's love to them? Who's called to model a different way of thinking and a different way of living so that people would begin to experience the irresistible aroma of the fragrance of Jesus from our lives? It's us. It's you. It's me. It's us together. Because opportunities mean possibilities, and possibilities mean destinies for people. And God gives us opportunities for a reason, and that is that we are called to deal in destinies. And the week that you've got that's about to unravel in front of you, that's about to be played out, and that you're going to walk through this week, there are opportunities for you to influence people's lives, to create God's possibilities, and to alter their destinies in God. Because there are people right now who are on a journey to godless eternity in a place called hell. The Bible says, unless we put our trust and faith in Jesus, then we condemn ourselves. Our sin condemns ourselves to hell. But God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is good news. And you carry that good news message. Are you geared up for this week to redeem the time? Are you geared up this week to buy the time and to live in those opportunities, those moments, not of Kronos, but of Kairos, that are going to come your way of God opportunities? So let me get you thinking this morning, church. What are your opportunities? And I've framed some of them in, well, different kind of quirky ways so that perhaps they might be remembered by you. First thing I want to talk about is having club card conversations. Most of us on our key rings, mine's in the office, have got club cards for different supermarkets and stores that we would go to. And as a loyalty for shopping there, we'd get our club card stamped. It's that regular routine, that consistency, that week on week, time by time. You know, most of us will have a time for shopping, don't we? And whether we want to or not, that's the night where you've got to get the shopping in. For us, it's a Monday night. It's my quality time with Heather, my wife. I know how to treat a girl. Yeah. Up and down the aisles in Tesco's. There we go. Other supermarkets as well. We can go there as well. Don't want a favourite one. But we'd go and we'd get our club card scanned. And there'd be those rewards of just the routine. I want to talk about the things that we would take for granted, the things that we would take as being our routine. We'd say, oh, God's not in operation there. Let me tell you, every conversation, every consistent moment of you being about in the patterns and the habits of your routines of life create opportunities for relationship to be built, for bridges to be strengthened, for moments for God to come and to, in the most positive way, exploit for his purposes in and through your life. This week may be ordinary, but it's not ordinary because it's an opportunity for God to move. Club card conversations. We need to be on point. You know, you've seen the footage of soldiers in different theatres of war and at different times, and maybe current and maybe historical, or maybe even in those moments of when you're looking at the comedy TV of Dad's Army, and you see them, that bit where they're at the end, where they're all getting their names flashing up, and they're all there and they're marching through, but they are looking around about. You may have seen it in the news of the soldiers as they are checking areas, and they are on point. The number one soldier that's out front, he is on point. It's his job to be sweeping and panning the horizon to see what is happening and what is going on, to look for any activity that may be there. And you know, church, we are called to be actively looking for God's opportunities. There is the routine, yes, but at the same time, we are called to be on point, actively looking and, could I say, actively listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to people, creating those moments, those opportunities for God. So the routine, there's being on point. Can I encourage you to juice your day? You know, when you get the fresh orange, you may be going to squeeze the juice out of it. Yeah, those moments where you go and maybe there'd be one of those machines that have hundreds of oranges and they'd squeeze it and pulp it and mash it out. When we were on holiday this year in Holland, there was a supermarket where you could go and you could pay a euro and you could watch your oranges being squished so that you could have your cup of juice. And of course, the kids were like, can I get? Of course, they took one little sip. Like, I don't like that. Get in there, because I do. But can I encourage you to juice your day? To squeeze every ounce of goodness out of the moments that you're living in for Jesus. Because that's the abundant life that he says that he's come that you would have. Or if maybe it's not juicing your day, maybe it's like that face cloth that needs to be wrung out. Wrung out. Are you allowing your day to be an opportunity where you're wringing out the most of your day for Jesus? Fourth thing I want to say about your opportunities, enjoy the goldfish bowl. Now, it doesn't mean that you're to go. But we live in the goldfish bowl where people look on in our lives. Whether it's through social media, whether it's through the people that we meet and the people that we talk to, people who are just plain old nosy. But they want to be involved in people's lives. They want to hear what's going on. They want to find out what's going on. And for some people, they'll get uptight. People are looking at me. People are looking at me. People are looking at me. Could it just be that those that are looking on, that what's going on in your life, either good or bad or indifferent, that they would look on and they would see there is something about that person? Maybe even because of what God's been doing and strengthening you and lifting some burdens and creating fresh hope in your heart and in your life from being in church this morning, that this week people in the goldfish bowl of your life are going to be saying, they're changed. They're different. They have hope. They have joy. They have peace. They have a sense of something about them. We know it's the Holy Spirit. They maybe don't. Your testimony talks. Weren't we blessed by what Gillian said? For some of you, it really resonated with you because it's where you've been in your life or it's where you're living right now. For some of us, it was a blessing for us because we're hearing about Jesus changing a life and those principles of a transformed, saved, healed life. But I want to tell you, if we as the church are like, that's brilliant. How much more for those who don't know Jesus? How much more for those who is in one of the translations or commentaries that we're talking about this passage and describing, make the opportunity for those who are without or those who are out with the family of God and out with relationship with Jesus. How much more so for those who are out with, who are desperately crying for an answer for their life, for significance and for value, that as we make the most of our opportunity, church, as we enjoy the goldfish bowl, as we allow our testimony to talk, that will allow us to minister into their life and into their situation. If you were to read chapter 3, verses 18 to 25, it gives some rules, some guidance for households of how they're to live, how they're to interact together there in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18. And in verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Whatever you're doing, you're on point. You're doing it for the Lord, but other people are going to watch on and going to see the difference that the Lord makes in your life. We need to develop a redeeming outlook. We need to develop a mindset and an attitude in our life where we look to redeem every moment in every situation. How do we do it? We do it, number one, by blessing others. We do it, number two, by building people up and encouraging people. We do it, number three, by bringing and living out kingdom values in our life. And we do it through boasting of the Lord. You might want to write those down. You might want to take note and think of those kind of things this week. Can I find this week? You may be saying, how am I going to redeem the time? How am I going to make the most of every opportunity? You're going to look for an opportunity to bless this week. To bless somebody. To make their life better in the name of Jesus. You're going to look for an opportunity this week to build somebody up. Who do you know that's discouraged? Who do you know that's living with a whole heap of pressure and a whole load of difficulties that just needs somebody to come alongside them, put an arm around about them and say, do you know what? You're not on your own. You can build somebody up this week, make the most of every opportunity. You can bring kingdom values because Jesus is at the core of you. Jesus is at the center of your heart, the center of your life. And you walk to a different drumbeat, not the world's pace and the world's routine, but you walk according to the drumbeat of the Spirit of God. Now, that might mean not being involved in some conversations. That might mean saying, sorry, I can't do that. I'm not prepared to be involved and engaged in that. That's not honoring to King Jesus. But there might be time when the kingdom is more about blessing others and reaching out and stretching forward rather than saying, oh, I'm not going to do it, and withdrawing. But we carry kingdom values. We carry light into dark situations. We carry salt into situations that require a flavor and require a preservative. And this week, boast of the Lord. Don't talk about yourself. Talk about what he can do and what he has done and what he is doing and what he's going to do in your life. Now, that may involve some faith statements. That may involve you launching out prophetically in that moment. But do you know what? Boast of and boast in the Lord. It was the Apostle Paul's encouragement to the world. Let's live this irresistible gospel of grace. And do you know what? Don't do it in your own. The Lord wants to help you do it. It's a recurring theme in Paul's writings. To the Galatian church, he says, keep in step with the Spirit or live by the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. To the Philippian church, he talks about pressing on, about straining towards the prize in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. To the Ephesian church, in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 to 18, it's almost a reworking of this passage and of these moments. Where in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 15, he says to the church that is only about 100 or so miles away from Colossae, you know, and he's writing this, would have been passed to that group of people as well. He says to them in Ephesians chapter 5, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Not shrinking back because we're living in difficult and in evil days, but making the most of every opportunity. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk in wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father in everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul says there in Ephesians 5 that they're to walk circumspectly, to walk cautiously, to walk sensitively in the world. And the word has got the idea of somebody with no socks and no shoes walking on thorny ground. You know those moments when you've been on the beach and it's sandy down by the water's edge, and then you've got that area that's where all the stones are, and it's like, Paul says we need to walk in the world like that, being aware that we're walking on stony or thorny ground where it might be uncomfortable, but we are called to walk in it, and we are called to walk through it. How do we do it? Walking 360 degrees, being aware of what's happening. Our phones now, there's a camera setting now where you can do one of these 360-degree shots and you can spin around, you can see everything. We're called to live like that. If I keep on doing that, I'm going to get dizzy, so I'm going to stop. But we're called to live like that constantly, looking at what's going around the orbit of our life and allowing God to make a difference of it. We need to redeem the time. Why? Because days are evil. Being active and involved, bringing God's change and God's difference in the moment of it. But we're not on our own. God, the Holy Spirit wants to help us, wants to help you this week. He wants to help you make the most of every opportunity, but to do that, we need to ask Him, we need to invite Him, and then we need to act on His urging us in what we do. John chapter 16 and verse 13 says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. You need to know truth, you need to ask the Holy Spirit. He will guide you in it. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8 says that the Holy Spirit, who is our friend, will empower you as a witness. You're saying, I don't have the ability to be able to be a witness. I don't have the ability to be able to boast in the Lord or bring kingdom values. Well, allow the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. Before you leave this place today, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up and empower you, because in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11, we read that the Holy Spirit wants to equip us with His gifts to be able to build and strengthen the church and to reach out to other people, supernatural gifts that have become naturally part of our life and part of our living, that He will equip us with gifts. The Holy Spirit, who is our friend, wants to build your character, so that you stand out in workplace or in that social environment, not because you fail, you get it wrong, or because you blow up or you've got negative character traits, but He wants to build your character through not the sins of the flesh, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Allow Him to change you. If you know that the people are looking on your goldfish bowl, call yourself a Christian, because you do that. Allow the Holy Spirit to change you. If you know that there's some some character flaws that's in your life, that in moments of stress and of pressure, that you react in that kind of way, and that you know that it's not giving glory and honor to God, then the invitation through the Holy Spirit is allow him to change your character. Because if you're not, why would you resist him who wants to help you get the God's most out of your life? And the Holy Spirit will also draw you closer to the Father, so that you're living in that close proximity to the Father. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18 speaks about the Father, the Spirit who enables us to draw out in Romans, draw and call him Abba, Daddy God, Father God. And you know, our ultimate model and example is Jesus. And Jesus spent time with his Father. See, if we are to make the most, if we are to redeem the time, if we are to buy back the time that we have and make the most of it, then we need to model as Jesus modeled. And Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. You know, Jesus would live in the seasons of God for and with his life. There are times where he would be with people. And the Bible speaks about times where Jesus would be declaring the word of God to multiple thousands of crowds, mountaintops, having to go into a boat because of the size of the crowd and create that natural amphitheater. Times where he would be healing the sick till late and into the evening. But also those seasons when he's not with people, where people would be saying, "Where's Jesus?" and nobody would know where he is. Why? Because he went to that lonely place. And that living, that making the most of his opportunity was on occasion doing very little other than being in the presence of the Father. But it was knowing the season that the Father had for him, saying, "This is a moment of you being with me and just refreshing and receiving from me and being on his own, finding the will of the Father for him." And other occasions where he was full on, output, 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 and living in the season of God, with people on his own, but also investing in other people. Whether it was releasing the 12, the 72, out into ministry opportunities, but he was living in the season of God, the kairos of God in his life, making the most of those moments of investing in other people. So back to your world, with a week of opportunities that will lie ahead of you. Back in February, when we launched our vision day of Maximize, we asked you the question, or had you fill in some cards of, number one, who am I praying for? Number two, who am I building relationship with? Number three, who am I reaching for Jesus? How are you doing with that, church? Guess what? Whether you're doing well, whether you're not, this is a week of fresh opportunity for you to engage with that. But it's a good question to ask throughout your life and to ask in your life and of your life, who am I praying for? Who am I building relationship with, and how or who am I reaching with Jesus? If you're going to make the most of every opportunity, you're going to need to target three areas in your life. You need to immerse yourself in the Lord. Prayer, soaking, reading the Bible, worship. You know, praying and spending time with God and bringing your heart and hearing from him. There's times of what would be called soaking, of just almost like doing nothing but being in his presence, saying, "Father, how do you want to speak to me?" And letting God speak into your heart and into your life. Be writing that down and journaling. Be hearing and listening what he's doing, asking God some questions and listening for the answer that's back coming back to you. Of reading the Bible, because the Bible is our standard, God's standard in our life. It's how he will primarily teach us. And anything that he wants to speak into us is going to be in tandem with the Word of God. It will never contradict the Word of God. You know, if the Word of God says something, you feel that you might be led to do something other than what's in the Word of God, you're wrong. Spirit will not contradict the Word, because the Spirit's the author of the Word of God. Those times of worship, just praising God for who he is. Those moments beyond immersing yourself in the Lord, to have insight into kingdom moments, to have your ears open and your eyes open to where the Holy Spirit's working this week, to get God's green light of saying it's time to go, it's time to move, it's time to be active, to have God's big sign over somebody's life that says, go and speak to them, go and share your testimony with them, go and offer to pray with them, go and bless them. by buying them a coffee and giving them a chance to talk. Might be an insight into kingdom moments of having that Holy Spirit revelation into your life or somebody else's life, where you bring the Spirit of God cutting into somebody's situation. So they know that they know that they know that God's speaking. And also to invest in others, to immerse, to have insight, but to invest in others. They might be giving and it might be sacrificial in your time, your generosity, your ability to bless, to help, and to listen. Church, can you begin to dream? Can you begin to imagine? Can you begin to look at your diary for this week and the places that you need to be and the people that you need to bump into? But not just look at your diary, but look not just at the chronos, look at the kairos of the season of God that He has you living in, so that you can bring His kingdom, so that you can redeem His time that is your time, so that you can deal in destiny with and for other people's lives for His sake and for His purpose. Church, would you bow your heads and would you pray with me, please?